welcome along. I'm Sean Savage, and this is Earshot Daily, electronic edition. This time around, I have music for you from Ylang Ylang, Blue Hawaiian, and Croy. Kicking things off, this is Eaton Tobin with Grind City.
Canada's Music, Earshot Daily.
I'm Sean Savage. This is Earshot Daily. Thanks for listening. Follow me on all socials. My handle is The Mix Sessions. Let me know what you think of the show. That was Ylang Ylang with How Thin Is the Skin of the Soul. Up next, this is Blue Hawaii with Boileau.
Music was meant to be. Earshot Daily.
Thank you.
You're listening to music from Canada's premier indie music source, Earshot's digital distribution system.
Thank you.
Sean Savage. You're listening to the Earshot Daily. Unfortunately, that's all the time I have for this edition of the show. This is Croy with Birthday. Until next time.
Listen up, Canada. This is your show on your station, Canada's Earshot Daily. Listening to Earshot Daily. For more information, visit earshot-distro.ca.
He who controls the spice controls the universe.
When the clock strikes midnight, the night truly begins. Step into the darkness on CFRC's Retro Radio Show, diving deep into the sounds of the past, from haunting classics to underground gems. This is DJ Terry, and every Friday night at midnight till 2 a.m., tune your dial to 101.9 or CFRC.ca and let the music pull you in. And they're still letting us near microphones.
It's true. We've got the music, the stories, and absolutely no filter.
From deep cuts to guilty pleasures, if it made noise in the last three decades,
we're probably playing it and maybe laughing about it.
This is 30 Years in Nonsense.
Hosted by Terry and Sherry Doherty.
Only on CFRC 101.9 FM, Kingston's campus and community radio.
Turn it up.
And embrace the nonsense.
Hello, I am Genevieve Hinch, and you are listening to The Kingston Curator. This is the show that keeps you connected with everything happening across Kingston's art, music, culture, and community scene. Whether you're looking for your next concert, wanting to discover local artists, or just trying to stay in the loop with what's going on around the city, this is definitely the place for you. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Kingston Curator. This week's episode really captures what makes Kingston's music scene truly so special. Today, we are talking about the brand new exhibition called Music from Miles Around, which recently opened at City Hall. So, the exhibition will be on display for the next year and explores Kingston's rich and fascinating musical history through artifacts, photographs, memorabilia, recordings, and personal stories. And it really highlights the musicians and venues, festivals, community members who've really helped shape the city's identity over the decades. So whether it's local artists who just got their start right here in Kingston or bigger names who have passed through and performed in the city, the exhibition does a really, really great job of showing truly just how important music has been to Kingston's story over the years. And one of the things I found most interesting while learning about this exhibition is really how many different generations of music it covers. There are displays that will bring back memories for people who've been part of Kingston's music scene for decades, but there's also plenty for younger visitors who might be discovering some of these stories for the first time. It really shows how music connects people across all generations and just how so many of Kingston's cultural traditions have been built around live music and just the community gatherings it brings. So Kingston has been known for a long time as a huge music city, and we have incredible local talent here and amazing venues. Truly so many great things that people put together, and the community genuinely supports the arts so much, and that's what I think makes Kingston so unique. And this exhibition really celebrates all of that. It really tells the story perfectly about the songs and the artists really who make Kingston the music city it is today. So another thing that is worth mentioning is that this exhibition is completely free to visit. Yeah, can you believe that? Completely free. So you can stop by City Hall and explore it on your own pace, and making it one of the most accessible cultural experiences happening in Kingston right now. So whether you're a lifelong music fan, a history buff, or really just looking for something interesting to do downtown, I think this is truly worth checking out. It is such a cool event happening right here in Kingston. And yeah, so today we are going to learn more about Music from Miles Around, how it came together. So I am joined by Melissa Cruz today, the city curator for the city of Kingston. And she is one of the people responsible for bringing this exhibition to life. So we are going to be talking about where the idea came from, how the stories and artifacts were selected, because as we know, Kingston has such a rich musical culture. So I know there's probably lots of tough decisions to choose from, what things were going to be featured and what were selected, because truly there is just so much to cover. And as well, just kind of some of the surprises uncovered during the research process and what visitors can expect when they walk through this exhibition and see all this beautiful history of Kingston. So I'm going to do enough talking for now, and let's get into this interview with Melissa Cruz. Today I'm joined by Melissa Cruz to talk about Music from Miles Around, exploring Kingston's rich musical history and the artists, venues, and communities that have helped shape the city sound. So thank you so much for joining me today, Melissa. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to talk about this exhibition.
Nice. And so for people who haven't had a chance yet to visit, what is Music from Miles Around?
So Music from Miles Around is really a celebration and a retrospective look at Kingston's music story. We start from sort of pre-European contact and bring you all the way through to the amazing work that the Music Office is doing today. And with a special extra dash of the Tragically Hip, because obviously this year is the 10th anniversary of their final concert.
Wow. Yeah. So really got a little bit of everything going on there.
A little bit of everything and there's something for everyone.
For sure. And so for listeners who may not know you and your involvement in this project, what have you been working on through this?
So I'm the city curators and I have a fantastic team that works under me and we all work incredibly collaboratively and we have been working quite aggressively on this exhibition for a year and a half, but there was talks about this exhibition dating back, you know, 5 years, 10 years. This has sort of been on our radar. And we thought with the 10 year anniversary of that final concert, it was a really great time space and place to really highlight Kingston's music story, because we knew there was going to be such a celebration of Kingston's music story at large citywide this year.
For sure. Yeah. And I really love the title of this. And I just want to know, where did this come from?
Well, it's obviously a subtle nod to Blow It High Joe by the Tragically Hip, but we went through quite a few different iterations of titles trying to figure out what felt right and what spoke to kind of the message and the stories that we were telling. And we thought this really settled nicely because we don't speak, you know, it is a Kingston story, but we go slightly beyond Kingston. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's, you know, from miles around. So it's sort of Kingston and area. And it really beautifully encompassed kind of all of the stories that people are going to see and hear.
For sure. And once this idea was in place, there must have been probably a lot of tough decisions about what stories to include and what to add. So kind of how did you decide what artists, venues, or moments in Kingston's music history to feature?
So we really did a significant amount of research. Like I said, we have a very diverse and fantastic team in Heritage Services, and it started with research. So we did a lot of diving into the archives. We reached out to local music historians, and we started, of course, reaching out to bands and management teams just to see what kind of support and artifacts and objects we could potentially loan and what sort of stories people had and were comfortable with us sharing. And that really kind of helped form those stories. We knew we obviously couldn't just focus on a single band, but honestly, the most difficult part, like you're saying, was us determining what was going mm-hmm. to be included and what wasn't. We are limited by about 2,300 square feet, and we easily could have filled, you know, triple that space. Given the breadth and depth of the content that we had. So a lot of it came down to what sort of objects and images and things like that we had that could support the stories and kind of that loose timeline that we were laying out to tell the stories.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was definitely very hard with Kingston's rich music scene. So probably lots to go over and some tough decisions were probably made.
Definitely. And we knew as we were putting it together, the one thing our entire team was just kept saying was, we know we're going to miss somebody, or we're not going to include somebody to the extent that their fans had hoped we would. And that's something that we actually had a very, very good chat with Sarah Harmer of all people. And she said, you're not going to be able to cover everything. You're just not. And she's mm-hmm. like, she was very kind about it. And she said, you know, you need to just, it's going to be okay. And you're highlighting, you know, what you can and in the space you have and with the content that we have to support it. So, but in saying that, we think it tells a really amazing, beautiful story. And we also provide additional opportunities through the amazing work that the music office is doing to kind of have additional walking tours that people can partake in and kind of continue the learning and continue the engagement and the excitement surrounding Kingston's music stories kind of beyond the walls of City Hall. But mm-hmm. so kind of learn, get your foundations, and then kind of you can keep exploring those stories through. We'll highlight quite a few different venues here in Kingston. So there's lots of opportunity to continue to explore the music scene beyond our exhibition. But it's a great place to start.
Yeah. And I'm sure while doing all this research, you must have discovered maybe a couple of surprises along the way. Do you have any memorable ones that you want to mention through your research?
A few different ones, of course. Yeah. I will say it's one thing that's we're always very happy to do. We have a very robust civic collection here in Kingston with the city of Kingston, and we're very excited to be able to pull a handful of objects out, one of which is a really beautiful violin that was made here in Kingston in the 1800s. And there's kind of an interesting story behind that. So not only was it made here, it traveled quite extensively, and it ended up being in the hands of a luthier in Hong Kong, of all places, and they opened it up to work on it. And they noticed the inscription saying it was made in Kingston, Ontario, Canada. And we were reached out to by the owner, and they said, would you like it back? And we said, we'd love to have it back. So that's on display in the exhibition. I'm just trying to think, fun facts that we had. We discovered that Ted Brown, who was the music teacher of a lot of the members of the Mahones and the Tragically Hip, and I think even David Usher, he was quite formally trained musically at the Royal Conservatory of Music in London. And he actually trained under Andrew Lloyd Webber's father. That's a fun little fact.
Oh, wow.
We always jokingly say there's, you know, 3 degrees of separation between the Tragically Hip and the musical Cats and Phantom of the Opera. So, I'm just trying to, another person that I think we, you know, maybe not surprising, but obviously my team doesn't necessarily come from this music world. Some of them, of course, are music lovers, but we partnered with Joe's Music Mill. And I think that has been utterly endearing to us in that Joe Chitlin, who the mill is named after, how utterly connected and beloved and how important that man was to musicians in, you know, the 90s, but also today. We have a full Joe's Jam Space, but we've partnered with the mill and they've supplied instruments for people to come in and get their hands on instruments and really just settle in and enjoy music and hopefully kind of, you know, recreate that communal feel that I think a lot of people feel in Kingston. And we've had more than one artist who knew Joe walk into that space and get teary-eyed.
Wow.
And it, the impact that obviously that he had and still has to this day is really, really quite special. And it's we're absolutely thrilled to work with the Music Mill and to be able to sort of highlight everything that they do. So that one thing that's been really endearing and really lovely to see. I'm just trying to think. We have so many great fun stories.
Yeah, I can imagine.
We have one wall that I think we all absolutely love, and we just call it the poster wall. We've been, like, for over a year and a half, have been collecting posters, and these are everything from, like, beautifully designed, glossy posters from Flying V Productions to posters that people have saved from the Toucan and Elfie's and AJ's hangar from way back in the day. And that's just, it's essentially an art installation that is just a feast for your eyes. And it's something that people can just stand and reminisce and be excited about. And it's just, it's really a lot of fun. And like I said, there's a little something for everyone.
Yeah.
We try to have objects and installations that will speak to every generation. We also have a guitar that, this is how fantastic music lovers are. We were able to loan a guitar that was played by Pete Townsend when The Who were here in Kingston.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Wow. So we have, it's obviously, we'll also say a portion of the guitar, because as Pete Townsend was both famous and infamously known for smashing the guitars.
Yep.
So when he played here in Kingston, obviously he performed as usual, and someone actually salvaged the guitar, and it ended up with the current owner through, I believe, a series of radio contests, and he has kept it all these years.
Wow.
And he very generously loaned it to us for the exhibition. I'm just trying to think what else. We have an amazing guitar that was owned by Zolyanovsky of the Love and Spoonfuls. Not everyone, or I would say some people know, but not everyone knows that Zol was not only a hit maker in the 70s. He toured with the Beatles, but then he also eventually settled in Kingston and opened Pan Chancho and Shea Piggy. So it sort of went from rock and roll star to a beloved restaurateur. So we actually have his guitar and a few of his awards in the exhibition as well. So that kind of speaks sort of those earlier generations. And then we move right through to, we have a full punk mannequin, which Thomas Hunter of Tommy's and Smoke and Barrel. It's his outfit from way back in the day. So shout out to Tommy for lending that to us. And it kind of speaks to that early, you know, Kingston Punk Productions or KPP early days. And we kind of speak to a little bit of everything for hopefully every generation.
Yeah, it really sounds like you have so much for everyone. There's definitely a little of history from everyone's generation and truly some great stories being shared. And I know this exhibition really highlights just how important music has been to the city over the years, as Kingston has produced so many incredible musicians. So what do you think makes Kingston such a unique music city?
Well, I think there's a couple different things. One is geography. So in more modern times, when people are booking artists in Toronto or Montreal, they have something that's called a radius clause, which means they can only play within, you know, X number 100 kilometers of that respective city. Mm-hmm. And Kingston is delightfully and very luckily in a geographic sweet spot, in that most of the radius clauses don't apply to Kingston, which allows artists to do shows in Kingston and while they're also performing in Toronto or Montreal or Ottawa. So that's one thing that bodes well in our favor. Another is their audiences. We actually had an individual come through, and he's in a band in Montreal, and he said, there's nothing like Kingston audiences there, you know. And I think that's something that, from doing the research for this exhibition, we saw, you know, with the rise of early dance halls and that sort of thing, people could find live music in this city almost every night of the week. And I think that tradition really carries through to today. And there's an audience for every musician. And, you know, with newer venues like the Broom Factory popping up, you know, I've been to concerts there, and it's not just a single generation that's there. There's people in their 70s there, and there's people in their 20s there. And that's one thing I think is really special with Kingston's music scene, is its audiences and just the community behind it is really incredibly supportive of all artists. And our venues are really supportive of up-and-coming artists, but also those well-established ones as well. And I think you can see well-established artists really being nurturing and caring and supportive of those up-and-coming artists as well. And that level of camaraderie is there, and not necessarily competition. They're there to support one another. And as well, of course, the music office, speaking of supporting artists and developing artists, the music office is also doing a fantastic job at that as well.
Yeah, wow. And I know you mentioned a little bit beforehand how people have donated some of their pieces to this exhibition, and as well their stories and history from around the years. So how important was community involvement in creating this exhibition?
It was very important. We reached out to I don't even know how many people, from people who manage and own venues, to speaking with the former GM of the K-Rock Center about the final Tragically Hip show, and speaking to bands and managers, and just sort of spreading our net as wide as we possibly can. And I would say 9 out of 10 people we reached out to and spoke with and were incredibly supportive and giving. And it's really been, you know, it's been really amazing to see this community come together and support this exhibition. And the artists have been fantastic. So Sarah Harmer, for instance, knew we were doing this exhibition, and she knew we were partnering with Joe's Mill, and she was over on a at a cottage on Wolf Island, and she closed the door and she saw Joe's hat, and she instantly knew she had to get it for us. Wow. So the fact that people were keeping us in mind, mm-hmm. As they knew we were kind of progressing this project, and that was really special. And shout out to Larry Stafford, who's kind of our unofficial music historian here in Kingston, and he provided us with so many photographs from back in the day, and it's just these people are excited. And I think that's something that after our first weekend open, a lot of people have said, you know, this why hasn't this been done sooner? And I think that's something that we've really taken to heart, and people have been very happy with it, and been very pleased to see it in, and very excited that we have it installed for an entire year.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And one thing I found really interesting is really how these stories can connect across generations, and sort of like history repeating itself in a sense. So do you see any common threads between musicians from decades ago and artists kind of working in Kingston today?
That's a great question. I would say one thing that's sort of been that we've seen as a common thread is the idea of inspiration, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. And it's for and the importance of seeing music live, I think, is the other. So, you know, we talked with Rob Baker from the Tragically Hip, for example, and he was talking about, because he was reminiscing about the earlier concerts in Kingston of his youth, and how important it was to see certain concerts, and had what he described as, he's probably slightly too young to be at some of those concerts, but to see them live here in Kingston, and just sort of that idea of that inspiration really holds true to today. And speaking with Cam from Cassador, him speaking to, you know, not only seeing venues and seeing bands playing here in Kingston, but then also, like we said, because of that communal nature of giving the opportunity to share a stage with more established bands. And so the idea of like inspiration and tenacity. And I think it's, you know, you can see that common thread of music appreciation, and then mm-hmm. being inspired and thinking, I could be the one that's up there.
Yeah.
And then having those like the next, almost like they're that support of the next generation coming through, I think is really strong.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And sort of looking ahead a little bit, this exhibition is really not just about celebrating the past, but also the future. And I know you mentioned there's something for every generation at this exhibition. So what do you hope younger visitors might learn from this?
Well, I hope that younger visitors will be inspired to sort of keep going, if that makes any mm-hmm. sense. But then also we've been able to highlight some of the programs and opportunities that the music office has. So like the Slate Music video program. So if people are in a band, they're able to kind of apply to have some help to produce some music videos, and things like youth open mic nights and makers meetups and that sort of things that the music office helps. So that's like to show that, you know, there is support out there. We also highlight quite a few different educational groups. So like Systema Kingston, and we speak to really kind of the rise of, you know, the choir scene in Kingston is mm-hmm. also very big. And I think there's a lot of music educators that function and as choir masters and that sort of thing. And so I think those youth can kind of recognize that there's opportunities and outlets and support for their creativity, mm-hmm. and to see that there's a community they can jump into that's waiting there with open arms.
Wow.
To support them.
Yeah. How truly wonderful. That's amazing. And
thank you.
And for anyone listening who's thinking about checking it out, I know I for sure am looking into this now, but what kind of stories can visitors expect to discover when they walk through this exhibition? I know you mentioned a little bit about kind of the artifacts that you have here, but yeah, anything you want to mention on that?
So we, like I said, we speak to, it's essentially a timeline of Kingston's music. So we speak to, you know, the earliest kind of, we actually have the first written account by a European settler from 1792 that actually speaks to kind of the earliest written account of indigenous music being here in Kingston. So we know music predates European contact by some time here in Kingston, and then we bring people all the way through from kind of that, like I said, that pre-European contact to military bands and church music, and then looking into you know, dance halls and the rise of radio, and looking at Kingston as a musical manufacturing hub. And we had, like I mentioned, the violins that were produced here. We also produced pianos, which we have a beautiful Wormwood piano on display. We also jump into, you know, the idea of like early theater in Kingston. So the Grand Theater will actually be celebrating its 125th anniversary next year. So we kind of speak to early theater and music here in Kingston, and really the stories just continue from there. Speaking, like I said, to choirs and Joe's Mill, and speaking, you know, quite heavily about Joe Chitlin and his legacy. And we have a whole section that's about lyrics that have been written about Kingston. And it's really just, it's a feel-good exhibition. You're going to come, you're going to get excited, hopefully inspired, and you can have an opportunity to jam out in Joe's jam space and just take in all of the amazing fun facts, take in the amazing artifacts we have, and we have a couple surprise interactive elements for people as well.
Wow. And the exhibition officially opened last week. That's super exciting. So maybe you had a chance to see people experience it firsthand. What has the reactions been like so far?
Oh, the reactions have been incredibly positive. We had one person in who he himself is a musician here in Kingston and is quite well connected. And he literally walked through and took pictures of every single person and thing he knew and was texting them to people. And two, we had another person come in and they are in a Bryan Adams cover band and they started playing Summer of 69 in Joe's jam space. To people who are incredibly dedicated to the Tragically Hip and had a great opportunity to come and settle into that portion of the exhibition, and were very moved by the artifacts that we have on display that we were loaned by the band. So we've had very positive feedback after our first weekend open. So we hopefully we'll have more folks come through and lots more stories to tell.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I'm sure you're going to get lots more of those reactions, because this is truly an incredible addition to the Kingston community. And finally, where can people go to learn more and plan a visit?
So you can go to the city website, or you can just search Music from Miles Around. Also, shout out to our sponsor, Empire Life. They've done a fantastic job supporting this exhibition and telling Kingston stories. The hours are Tuesday to Sunday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It's open at 10 a.m. till 4:30 with a special late night on Thursday, till 7. So it's a great opportunity to come downtown, have some dinner, and come check out the exhibit. And then on Saturdays we're open 12 to 4 for people, and it's all totally free. That's the big thing. It is entirely free. Yeah.
So yeah, truly an accessible event literally for everyone there. So make sure you definitely go check it out. And Melissa, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it, and just kind of sharing the story behind Music from Miles Around. So congratulations on the exhibition, and I hope lots of people get the chance to check it out. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Again, that was the amazing Melissa Cruz talking about the new exhibition, Music from Miles Around. And truly, this seems like a great opportunity for anyone in Kingston. Definitely go make sure to check this out. It is completely free, very accessible, and it's just a great way to learn more about Kingston's amazing musical history, discover some new artists maybe, or just kind of reminisce in the past. But it seems like a great place to be. I'm definitely going to check it out. But yeah, Thank you again, Melissa, for joining us today. I really appreciate it. And now, speaking of things happening around the city, let's take a quick look at what's coming up this weekend in Kingston. We have the Power of Positivity Music Festival taking place all weekend long, bringing a packed lineup of live music and community celebration to the city. And looking at tonight's live music, Ave of Wands will be performing at Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m., while No Limits takes the stage at The Merchant beginning at 10:30 p.m. And if you're looking for something a little different to do on Sunday, Puppies and Jazz is happening at the Caesar Company from 5 to 8 p.m. I'm definitely going to go check that out myself. And that is just a small sample of what's happening around Kingston this weekend. So thanks again for listening to the Kingston Curator on CFRC 101.9 FM. And definitely make sure you go check out Music from Miles Around happening in City Hall.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim.